Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We have been participating as a church in this 40 days of fasting and prayer. And if you were to look in that participation guide, you'll notice that our first 10 days were focused a lot on confessing to the Lord sin, focus on repentance and change, and just being honest with ourselves and setting up more time to seek Him and pray more and study more and just, you know, just get closer to Him and shake off all these hindrances that, you know, kind of get into our life that we begin to take on and tolerate and kind of get in the way and set aside a season to be separated unto the Lord and consecrate ourselves. And so, you know, these first 10 days of confession and making things better, making things right, maybe the Lord changing our mind about some things in us or things that we do and the way that we are and kind of setting us on a better path. You know, a lot of that obviously has to do with sin, you know. And so I want to talk a little bit about this personal sin thing, our tendency to hide it. I want to talk about how our sin, you know, though it's our spiritual walk, our sin, though it might be hidden to others, it impacts the whole. I want to talk a little bit about that from Scripture. I want to talk about how when we confess, how we need to, you know, maybe include not only personal confession, but the confession of the people that we, you know, are in God's family with, that things that we don't know about, that we just need God's mercy for. And also, you know, to bring about what all that does in the confidence that Jesus was willingly punished for our sin and what that means for us. And then we're going to celebrate communion together. So that's kind of what we're going to do. Now some of you are saying, hey, we got it all. Just go to communion, Randy. Please don't preach for another hour and a half. Well, we can't do that because, you know, Tom Brady's playing soon. I'm kidding. So, would somebody say come on? Is that what, did I hear that or I don't know. Are you brave enough to say there's a Patriot fan in the room? Oh, people start looking around. Who is that? Because we're Old Testament. We're gonna stone you. No, I'm kidding. Listen, when it comes to sin, it seems to be our sinful nature, humanity's way, to kind of try to hide it. I mean, we can go back to the beginning, you know, when original sin took place. Adam and Eve, they disobey God, they sin. Sin enters humanity. And, you know, what do? They use leaves to cover up this revelation that came because of disobedience to God. And then they go and they hide in the garden because they hear God coming into, you know, coming through the garden and calling for Adam. And they go and hide. It's kind of what we tend to do. You know, I don't want nobody to know about it. And I'll deal with it. And I can handle it on my own. Or it would be embarrassing for them to know. You know, so we go through this process. You can look at Cain, you know, kills Abel, tries to deceive and say, hey, I don't know. I'm not my brother's keeper. I don't know where he is. And God says, listen, his blood cries out to me from the ground. So we try to hide it. You know, we can look at Moses. He kills an Egyptian, and then he tries to bury him in the sand, cover it up. You know, we can go through the Bible and, you know, and just look at story after story of humanity. You know, you can look at Joseph's brothers who were jealous and envious of him and were tired of his dreams and his fancy robe from dad and all this stuff, and they sell them into slavery And then they come up with the plan, say, let's take his robe, stain it with animal's blood, and we'll bring it home like we're all broken up. Oh, Dad, you know, Joseph, he was torn apart and devoured by wild animals. They try to cover it up. We're going to look at that. Because I want us to understand that, you know, our sin, you know, obviously we know it separates and strains our relationship with God. We know that. We know that Jesus gave us life so that we could be free from sin and live a life that is free from sin and be able to go through this life with diligence and help from His Spirit, that we could live a life that's free, the freedom that He died for you, for me. And yet understand that our sin, it impacts the people around us. Well, during this fasting and prayer time, I mean, I've been reading, you know, different scriptures, but the Lord just seems to have me in the book of Daniel. And so I've just slowly been going through this and going back and reading a chapter again and sorting through it. And it was just more of a personal thing I just felt from the Lord and me to do together. I didn't plan on studying Daniel and trying to come up with sermons for Sundays, you know. That wasn't the point. But there's something that just stood out that I felt like the Lord connected to this fasting and prayer days, especially these first days of focusing on, you know, repentance. And it's in Daniel chapter 9. And as you turn in there, I'm just going to give you a little history or a little backdrop here for this. So Daniel's been around now for a few kings. And, you know, he watched one king who would not humble himself before the Lord. And he lost the kingdom, and then confessed, and the Lord restored the kingdom to him for a time, and then, another king came. That king knew what his, you know, dad went through, and yet he did not humble himself before the Lord, and so he dies and loses the kingdom. Another king comes. He knows. He's warned by the prophet. You know, some dreams are involved and writing on the walls involved. And Daniel interprets this stuff and says, this is what it means. It's from the Lord. And it's a warning again that they would acknowledge God and they would humble themselves. And they refused to do it. And so it brought about, you know, major sin in the king, throughout the kingdom. They would not listen to the prophets and they wouldn't listen to the warnings. And therefore, there were consequences. And so Daniel is now in what we know as chapter 9, and he has a very interesting prayer. And I want us to take a look at something here that I just feel is something to highlight, something for us to consider. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, it says, Daniel's writing, "Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking Him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession to Him, saying these words." So He tells us this prayer. "O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love Him and keep His commandments." What's the next word? "We." Very important word here. You see, Daniel, if we were to read these, you know, 7-8 chapters before this, you start to discover not just what Daniel does, not just how he's elevated to an office, but the quality of the man and his relationship with God. And you will see that Daniel, I mean, he's not perfect. He is not Jesus. But he is a pretty righteous dude. I mean, he has convictions about not defiling himself before God. He has convictions about how he lives and what he does and who he will not bow to, and only God will he worship. And you start to see, whoa, this dude, he's got some spiritual fortitude. And he's disciplining himself, and he's doing this right. And all of a sudden, he comes to this prayer of confession, and he says, "We." I mean, he's including himself. Though he's a pretty righteous dude, He's including himself in his confession on behalf of God's people, who he is one of them, though their sins are of disobedience and rebellion, and his personal sin is not. He includes himself with those people because he has an understanding that, yes, we need to take care of our personal relationship with God, but if we let sin exist in us, it affects the whole. It's not just your life. It's our life. And the consequences of my personal sin can affect you. And the consequences of your hidden personal sins can affect the whole. We're going to walk through and we're going to see some of this. We're going to see an example of this from the book of Joshua in just a moment. And so Daniel, he says, we've sinned. Includes himself. We've done wrong. We've acted wickedly. We've rebelled. We've turned aside from your commandment and rules. Now, has Daniel done any of this? Mm-mm. But he says we. He's a part of this. So you're connected to one another in your faith in Christ. And your walk with the Lord isn't just about your walk with the Lord. Your walk with the Lord affects the whole. You know, look at it this way. Let's put it in the context of a family. If dad's got some secret sin going on, okay, won't deal with it, won't resolve it, trying to hide it, going through all the energies and jumping through the hoops and developing a constant pattern. Listen, it affects the family. It just does, because it affects him. It affects the family. It affects his marriage. Affects his spouse. Or if the shoe's on the other foot and it's her thing that she's dealing with. Affects the family. It affects the kids. Affects your friendships. Now, they may not see it all plainly, but because it hinders us and weighs us down, we are not being free and operating at our best, and therefore our home and family is not best. Church, the ministry, it's not best. Even though we may not see it in each other, there's something going on. It affects the whole. And you and I need to consider, man, when we go through repentance, we go through confession, we got to make things right in our own life. But man, when we need to maybe confess the sins of the church to the Lord and pray about it and say, God, we need your forgiveness. We need your mercy. We have rebelled. We haven't obeyed your law. We have turned aside. We have, and I don't mean that from a judgmental, critical point of view. We're talking about concrete things that we know. He says, we've sinned, we've done wrong, we've acted wickedly, we've rebelled, we've turned aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name. It would be like you and I today saying, we're not listening to God's word. God sent these people and had it written in this book so that it would speak to my life. And I'm not listening. I'm not obeying. I'm picking and choosing what I want to obey and thinking that's pretty good. And that's good enough. And I don't have to address some of this stuff that I know in my heart of hearts it's not right. I feel a conviction about it. The conviction got heavy. And then God just kind of lets us set our pattern. But he hasn't forgotten. And through this fasting and prayer, I believe that there's a resurgence of some of those things and convictions that maybe we just kind of got used to. Or we've said no long enough and God just says, okay, I'm going to let you have your way for a while. And you see what unfolds. And hopefully it brings us to our wits or to our knees that we return to him. And he uses it. And so Daniel's here. And so when you and I look at confessing, it's not just about my life. Lord, forgive us as a church. Forgive us as a body of believers for, you know, use any example you want. If you see, you know, and know that there's some gossip and there's some people in the body that, man, they're just, I, I love them. I don't want to really associate with them much. I don't trust them much because I hear how they talk about other people. So in your confession, you're not passing judgment on them, but you're including yourself. God, forgive us for being gossips. Forgive us for misrepresenting people. Forgive us for being busybodies. God, forgive us. We have done this. Now, you personally may not have done it, but you are identifying yourself with God's people and saying, God, have mercy, please convict us about this. Help us along. Forgive us for this. Deal with this within us. And you come clean because you're connected to them. This isn't, hey, my life's okay, so, you know, that's on them. Daniel comes to a place where, oh, he's a pretty righteous guy. He says, and includes himself, would you forgive us? We have done these things against you. Forgive us. He goes on and says, we deserve open shame. Grace and mercy belong to you, Lord, but open shame belongs to us. We have disobeyed you. We haven't listened to you. So you and I, we need to add to our thinking that it's not just about my life and that's it. It's about our life together. Because our sin affects the whole. I want you to look in Joshua chapter 7. If you want to turn there, you don't have to. You can, you know, take notes or look on the podcast or the whatever in a couple days or watch it online and play and pause and do whatever you want to do to, you know, look at these passages. But Joshua chapter 7, there's a man here who commits sin. And we'll see that it affected the whole. Not everybody did this, but this guy did. And it affected the whole. Now, God's people here, they're, you know, in the promised land, and they come to a place called Jericho. And in chapter 6, you will see that God gives them a great victory in Jericho. I mean, they followed, they obeyed the Lord. The walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and, you know, God brings about this great victory. They're excited about it. God answered. God did his plan. God kept his word. We obeyed. Look what God did. I mean, they are feeling great about this. Joshua is the leader. I mean, hallelujah. He's so grateful. He's feeling good about this. Well, they were told, everything burns. He says, first, go into town and, you know, go get Rahab as we made a commitment to her and get her out. You take all the gold, all the silver, iron, some of these kind of materials, and they said, take these and we will put them. They are now spoken for. They are designated items for the house of God. Do not take any of this for yourself. Everything else, don't take anything else. It's being burned. It's being, you know, decimated and desolated. Well, now after this, they come across, they send some spies into a place called Ai. Now Ai is the small place. And the spies come back with reports and, you know, this is a small group of people. This battle should not be, you know, a real problem. They go along with it. Joshua sends out 2,000 or 3,000 to go battle and conquer. This should not be a problem. And they go out and all of a sudden, they go to war against Ai, this little place. And as they go, about 30-some men of the Israelites get killed. And all of a sudden, the hearts of the Israelite army, the scripture says their heart melted and became like water, and they retreated. Now, they just conquered Jericho. And now they go to Ai, and they lose, and they retreat. I mean, in human terms, this is like kind of ridiculous. I mean, Ai shouldn't have even been a challenge, really. And now they lost. So this is the report that comes back. This is what happens. And in chapter 7 of Joshua, Joshua says, what is going on? He's trying to figure this out. What happened? And he goes and he tears his clothes. He falls on the earth, you know, on his face. And before the ark of the Lord in the evening, and, you know, they're all kind of seeking, and Joshua's laying there, and this is what the Lord says to him in Joshua chapter 7. Now watch this, verse 10. The Lord said to Joshua, get up! Exclamation point, get up! I mean, you know, Joshua was just coming to lay before the Lord and humble himself and say, oh God, you know, what happened, and try to figure this out, and Lord, speak to me. And he shows up, and God, he says, get up! Ain't time for this right now. Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? And now he tells him, Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own personal possessions. Therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for thus says the Lord God of Israel. There are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you. I'm going to stop right there. So they go through this process. They take a clan at a time. They go through family at a time. They go through individual at a time. And they get to Achan. This man named Achan. And Achan confesses, I've taken some gold, some silver. I took a robe. I saw these things. I wanted them. And they are buried in the ground inside my tent. Joshua sends some men, they go dig it up, they bring the stuff, they say, yep, here it is. Achan's sin, individual, personal sin, affected the whole from a victory that the Lord had purposed and planned for them. Daniel, a righteous guy, includes himself with the sins of his people when he talks about confession. He understands that the sins of people affect the whole. We go back and look at an example of Achan who sees stuff and takes stuff that not it's not for him to take. And he hid it. Covered it up. And all of a sudden, it affected all of God's people. Now you and I can think, well, my sin's not that big and it's not like this, you know, huge deal. And, you know, God and I have been talking about it for a long time and he kind of understands and Listen, he's full of mercy, he's full of grace, and I need it in my life, and we all do. But you and I, we got to pay attention to some things in our personal life that maybe we've hidden. And I'm not talking about just some private acts and some conduct. I'm talking about also the things we hide in our heart that we sometimes try to mask as we reveal it out and we package it nice and people think, oh, okay. But God sees the motive behind it. Well, turn to the person next to you and say, hey, God sees. Hey, God sees. Don't forget the hey. Hey, God sees. Now, it's not a threat. It's not manipulation. It's the fact, man. He sees. And this is not a message of condemnation. This is not a message of laying down the hammer and we're going to the woodshed. This is an awakening that, hey, we're supposed to be consecrating ourselves. We are supposed to have heightened awareness of the Spirit because we're crucifying the flesh more. We're praying more. We're studying. We are setting aside a time to reconnect with God in a greater way. And it may be a way we never have or a way we've lost. And it's about Him. It's about us getting close to Him. We're not fasting and praying so we can get something from Him. And I want you to know that our sin matters. Now, if there's some hidden stuff that is permissible in your life that isn't contrary to God's word or commands, you know, that you just kind of do on your own, it's not sin, you're not convicted of it, but you don't make it known because you don't want it to be a stumbling block to somebody else, hey, that's biblical, that's fine. We're talking here about sin stuff that we hide, that we bury. And maybe you buried it a long time ago, and it's just become a pattern and a part of your life, and now you think, well, you know, I still feel God when I go to church, and I, you know, I still pray and read my Bible, and I go through some spiritual disciplines or exercises or whatever, some traditional things, religious things, and, you know, and so we think that's acceptable. That's sin. I want you to know it's affecting the whole. Here's the thing. There's something that's revealed here in this passage that you and I, we need to remember this. It says to Joshua, get up and go take care of this because the people of God will never be able to stand before their enemies until this is taken care of. Now, I don't know what enemies you have. The enemy of your soul. I don't know what spiritual attack you face. I don't know what circumstances unfolded in your life. I don't know all of your battles and your struggles and what goes on. And maybe it's, you know, with sin, it's something else. There's this, you know, thing that just always kind of happens or always going on. And, you know, you're just battling. I want you to, and you wonder, why am I not getting a breakthrough? Why this? Why am I not, you know, being victorious? Why am I not overcoming? You know, I'm reading these scriptures. Listen, here it is. Until you and I take a shovel and we go back to our tent and we dig a hole and get the stuff and get rid of it, you and I will never be able to stand before our enemy and have victory that Christ has purchased for us. He died. He has grace and mercy. His blood is paid. He's been punished for my sin. There is forgiveness. But if I don't deal responsibly from that grace and mercy to change this stuff in my life, I will never stand in battle against my enemy and see victory. I can read the scriptures. I can pray in the Spirit. I can, you know, go through all this religious stuff that we like and we, oh yeah, spiritual battle. But until we deal with that, we will never stand and be victorious in a battle. They lost to Ai. I mean, they were that big. Their hearts melted and became like water. Courage left them. Fear took hold of them. Anxiety did. Why? Because somebody, not them, but somebody's personal sin affected the whole. Ooh. It wasn't, hey, those guys didn't do it, so therefore they're going to go and conquer the battle for all of us. Mm-mm. Somebody else. And it affected and held up a victory for God's people. Is my personal sin, mine, holding you back? Is yours holding ours back? Is it hindering slowing down the process, the victory that some who are so broken and they're looking so desperately for. And are we hindering it? Because we won't take the shovel, dig it up. Oh, we'll lay down before God and we'll ask for mercy and we'll ask for grace and we'll pray the scriptures and we'll pray, you know, David's prayer of, you know, restoration when he sinned from Psalm 51 and we'll do this and do, but we won't take a shovel. I love God's response to Joshua. Don't lay here. Get up and go deal with it. And that's what he's telling you and I. We can come into these 10 days of confession and getting close to him and conviction builds and we'll just pray some more and we'll read some more and, you know, we'll do some things. But he's saying, stop it, man. Go deal with this. Fix it. Fix it. I mean, we need God's help to do it. Don't get me wrong. But at some point, our faith can't be just some idea and just some talk. The faith has to move us with faithfulness and action to be responsible upon the grace and mercy that he's given us. I mean, James writes it this way. Your faith, it is justified by your actions. And God's saying to Joshua, hey, you know, and I'm being kind here and paraphrasing. Hey, thanks for laying down. You want to seek me? You want to pray? But listen, get up. This is what's going on. Now go deal with it. That's repentance. Go change. Achan's sin affected the whole. And they went and dealt with it. And if you read in chapter 7, Achan's sin affected not only the whole, and when it was dealt with, it was not good for him and his family and the way they were told to deal with it. Listen, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, those who, Pentecostal, full gospel, intercessors, and they're, you know, they're just wanting to take on battles and fight demons and do all this stuff, and you know, and I'm not criticizing that. I mean, that's part of the ministry of Christ and what we're called to, but, you know, Ephesians 6, you get all jacked up, and you're like, oh, you know, oh. Oh, and so you start reading in, you know, Ephesians 6, chapter 10, where it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to, what? Say it. Stand. Say stand. Stand. We're supposed to put this armor on so we can stand. But I want you to know, back in Joshua, they put on their armor and they went out to battle against a small enemy. And their armor did not protect them from personal hidden sin. Their hearts melted like water. So you can put on the armor and you can do your prayer time and even go through the motions and put it all on. And I'm not mocking or making fun here. I'm just telling you, you can do all this. And you can say, I'm going to pull down strongholds and I'm going to do. But you're not taking a shovel and digging up what's hidden in your tent. You can go through, you can read this passage, you can read it to God, you can remind other people of it, you can go through the motions, you can read it out loud, you can, and go to battle and not win. Because something's buried in your tent or mine. Look at these words. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the day. And having done all, to stand firm. In other words, if we dug it up and we dealt with it, we just lay there and call it for grace and mercy and just forgiveness. We dealt with it. That you can face the enemies in your life. And God's, it's a battle is his, but he will bring about victory in your life. He will bring about greater victories. There might be greater battles, but if you keep the tent clean, you are prepared to go off and stand toe-to-toe with the enemy in your life because Christ has provided victory on your behalf. But when we hold back disobedience in sin, don't think for a moment that we can charge the battle line. And His grace and mercy is just going to see us through and bring victory. No, His grace and mercy is brings victory into our life to deal with what's buried in the tent. And when that's taken care of, then we are backed by the righteousness of Christ, and all authority and dominion is given unto Him, and He comes on our behalf and brings about the victory that we have been seeking as an individual and as a church. Because what's buried in your tent, though we don't know what it is or that it exists, is affecting all of us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.